So it has been a while since I've caught up with my good friend and colleague over at SNY, John Harper. Harp, of course, a longtime New York baseball columnist. Now you can read his stuff at SNY.tv. He's got some good stuff up currently about the Mets and their hot winning streak here, and about the Verlander-Scherzer combination. We'll get into plenty of that with Harp right now. But Harp, I mean, I feel like it's been forever because you've been out of commission with the broken neck. I was afraid to call you. I was like, man, can he do radio spots? I don't know. I was off Friday filling in for Carton, so you were there Friday making your big return. How you feeling, Harp?
I'm good. I'm good. I don't know if you need to explain after that dramatic introduction, but yes, I broke a bone in my neck playing racquetball. And I've been in a neck brace ever since. Had surgery, been in a neck brace ever since, but I'm doing fine.
All just right. Oh, you back to 100%? You 100% or what?
No, I got to keep the brace on for another few weeks. But I took it off to do TV and stare into the Zoom camera the other night, and I'm going to do that again, I think, this week with you on Wednesday.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure because I was doing, like I said, I was working, so I didn't get a chance to watch it. So you're doing it from Zoom with the neck brace off, though. Oh, man.
Yeah, Harp. As long as my doctor's not watching, I'm okay.
Harp, look at this. You don't even listen to doctor's orders. You're going too hard. You're playing 110% for racquetball, for goodness sake, putting you out of commission for a month.
It was a freak thing, though, Sal. I popped a hamstring just as I was getting to a ball under the wall, crashed into the wall, unfortunately.
Oh, so that's what it was. I didn't know the details. So you popped the hamstring and then went into the wall. My goodness.
Yeah, just as I was going for a ball, and I actually don't remember hitting the wall. I knocked myself out, but that's what they tell me I did.
Goodness gracious. So you've been watching. Well, I'm glad to have you back, at least, Harp, in the mix via Zoom. We hope to get you back in studio at some point. Glad to hear you're doing well here.
Yeah, it won't be long.
Okay. So you've been watching a lot of the baseball. Let's start with the Mets here, who all of a sudden have found themselves with this 5-game winning streak. It took a call-up from, the younger guys to get them going a little bit, and then it's been the veteran stars now of late starting to come together. What do you think? What's your biggest takeaway from this stretch here and moving forward with this club?
Just what a dramatic turnaround it was. Man, they look like a dead team. And you knew they could turn around eventually. They had a lot of talent on that team, but they just weren't playing well, and they weren't pitching well. To me, that was the biggest thing. But they weren't hitting, and they did need a spark. And I think the young guys provided the spark that, it was only a week ago, less than a week ago, Verlander's coming off the mound in that game against the Rays on Tuesday, getting booed off the mound, and the fans are booing the whole team. And then the next night, they're down 2-0 in the seventh inning, and Vientos hits that home run. If he doesn't hit that home run, they might get shut out for the eighth time this year. I think it's eight, would have been eight. And who knows where it stops. And that home run led to Alvarez's home run in the ninth inning, and then Alonso's home run in extra innings. And then from there, I just think, it seemed to revive them. And then some of their guys, I think it helped relax some of their guys too. Guys like Lindor, some of the vets maybe a little bit, and stopped trying so hard. And then the pitching kicked in. That was the biggest thing, from Senga to McGill, who pitched really well. Then you had Scherzer and Verlander on Sunday. Both pitched really well, like it's set up. You thought they could pitch. I think we both agree. Scherzer, to me, didn't look right. I thought he was in trouble. But then it turns out maybe it was related to all these, these injuries he's had. I think that's the biggest fear with him. He's just can he stay healthy with all these little things that crop up now when he's at an older age? But they look like the team you kind of thought they'd be going into the season. At least it looks like to me that way.
Yeah, and they've shown now that resiliency, the comeback ability. You mentioned it. That was something we saw so frequently a year ago during their 101-win regular season. So now you're starting to see that fight. I think it's important to get Marte going, Lindor, Alonso, the young guys. But you mentioned it with Verlander and Scherzer. That is how this team is built, Harp. Kodai Senga as well. But it's Scherzer and Verlander. Verlander looks as nasty as ever. I mean, I know it's been a month, but he looks as dominant as ever. Do you then expect that Scherzer, assuming he could stay healthy, you think he could find it again, or where this could be the dominant 1-2 punch that Steve Cohen had in mind when he shelled out $86 million?
I really have my doubts the way Scherzer looked early on. Before we even knew of any of these injury concerns, his fastball just didn't have that pop, and he wasn't able to throw a bomb. And I know he doesn't he doesn't rely heavily on the fastball, but because he uses so many pitches. But he still has always been a guy, when he needs to, he could throw the ball past hitters, and he wasn't able to do that, at least not unless it was really perfectly located. So I have my doubts, but he looked much better in that start, two starts ago. He had some of that pop. The other day, I guess this cut on his thumb hurt his velocity. He said it hurt his velocity, but he was crafty enough to get around it, and the Guardians don't have much power. So, but yeah, you're right. I agree with you on Verlander. He looks pretty much like the same guy. He hung up a couple pitches against the Rays, and that's a bad start. But other than that, you know, he looks like that guy. So, you know, it's all going to come down to will they be healthy in October, just like last year when it was DeGrom and Scherzer. And for whatever reason, Scherzer didn't have it then either, whether that was injury related or not. But it still comes down to those guys. Although you're starting to see, and this is starting to be a concern, you're starting to see the effect now, I think, of missing Edwin Diaz, because Robertson's done a great job, but the depth in that pen has really been tested. These guys have been overworked. Ottavino hasn't been the same guy, and it's clear they're going to have to. That's the one area they're really going to have to address at the deadline, I think.
Do you trust that Billy Epler will go out there and do it, whether it's that, whether it's another bat? I mean, who knows? They shouldn't need to trade for a starting pitcher, but you never know with this team. Do you trust that the Mets, even if they may be a wild card team, are going to be all in trying to build this thing to a championship team?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure, because they're not going to trade any of these big guys. They're not going to trade the guys who've already come up, and I don't think they're going to trade Mauricio the way this guy's. He's zooming up these prospect lists again. He's improving his plate discipline. I think he's going to be up at some point this year and be another guy, because I'm not sure what Canna has left. I know Tommy Pham. I know Martino keeps telling you how hard Tommy Pham's hitting the ball and all that, and his hard hit percentage is high, but I'm still not sure if he's the guy you want in hitting fifth in a lineup against lefties all the time, or even fourth. But anyway, I think Mauricio is going to be up sometime. So then you're going to reach down into your next level of prospects. And I don't think Cohen wants to do that necessarily, unless he absolutely feels he has to. I think a lot's going to be determined by the way this team is playing at the time. If they look like they could be a championship team with a move or two, because he wants to build the team that's going to be a team that's going to be sustainable. The only way to do that is develop your own guys. They've done a nice job with position players, but they haven't done a good job of developing young pitching.
All right, so maybe they could take on a contract or something that nobody would want to give.
Yeah, maybe. No doubt they'll get bullpen arms. You can always get bullpen arms, but you know, if they're looking for a big bat at the deadline like they were last year, I'm not sure you can do that without giving up somebody really good. So that could be tricky.
You know, Vientos is interesting to me, Harp, because, look, Alvarez and Beatty aren't going anywhere, right? We could get into Alvarez in a second, but those guys aren't getting traded, no question about it. You just went over.
I don't think Alvarez is going down to the minors either, no matter what.
Well, I mean, how is that even possible?
I saw Vien and Y. I'm sure people in the organization are telling Andy, they have to keep it as a consideration, because he is the guy with options. But come on, man, just watch the guy play. And you got to be kidding. You think they're going to send him down? I mean, this fan base was starting to turn on Buck as it was, and I know it wouldn't be Buck's call, but this fan base would go nuts if they sent Alvarez down. Plus, I really think he's just going to keep getting better. His catching is much better than advertised. And you're starting to see him get some clutch hits and even draw a couple of clutch walks here and there. So
he's becoming confident. He looked overmatched a year ago. He was struggling to start this year. Now he's finally got it. It's clicking. You see the raw power that the guy's got that nobody else has, you know, as far as catchers go on that team. So he's got the power, and he's got the confidence now, and he's a hyped prospect. Like, now's not the time to be doing this. And for who? for Gary Sanchez and Tomas Nito? Are you freaking kidding me?
I know. Come on, man. Sanchez, I mean, look, I guess it's worth a shot if you needed an extra catcher or something. But you can't tell me that. Who knows? But I don't think he's the answer.
Good God.
I like Alvarez. I like the other night I think he led off that rally. Was it last night? I've lost track. Mm-hmm. With that going the other way to right field with a single. So he's showing that he can be a complete hitter, and he's always been able. You watched him in the minors; he always had big power to the opposite field. So I think you're going to see that become more in play when he gets more comfortable and lets the ball get deep and all that stuff.
They are out of their minds if they send him down, and there will be a mutiny. But that's why, Harp, I wanted to focus on Vientos for a second, because You know what we're getting with Beatty and Alvarez. You mentioned Mauricio, and we'll see what happens if he eventually gets called up. But I wouldn't think that either of those guys are getting moved. What exactly is Vient? Like, if the Mets aren't making Vientos the everyday DH, and it doesn't seem like they are, if the Mets didn't bring him up when they DFA'd Darren Ruff, which I still don't understand why they didn't do that, and the guy's dominating the minor leagues the way that he is, if they're not going to find a spot for him at DH every day for the most part, then why wouldn't they be trading him potentially?
Yeah, well, that could be a possibility. But, I mean, the guy does, he's shown he has big power as a right-handed hitter, and that's something they need. So that's when I said when you brought him up, I thought give him an extended run as kind of your everyday or close to everyday DH, playing at third base once in a while. I don't think he necessarily has to play a position. He's not a really good defender anyway. Let him focus on hitting and let him see if he can do it. If he can get in there for a number of games, let him see if he can do it. I'm not sure. I think it's Buck's call. He wants to play Vogelback against righties, it seems like. But I think everybody's seen that Vogelback, well, for one thing, he's been cold with the bat. And for another, I know he drives you crazy. He drives a lot of people crazy because he's so he's such a guess hitter that he takes a lot of strikes, you know. And I would give Vientos the run right now and try and find out about it in the next few weeks. And then you can always make a decision from there. Maybe you do trade him if you don't think he's the answer.
Yeah, I mean, they want to talk about versatility now in baseball and the Mets. Oh, yeah, we want guys to be versatile. And then one of the arguments for Vientos is that, well, we don't want to bring him up because he can only play third base. We have a third baseman. He can only play first base. We have a first baseman. But Vogelback does nothing. I mean, he does nothing but walk, yet they find a roster spot for him, which just does not make any sense. If you're going to have Vientos on this team or in this organization, he's got to play.
Yeah. Got to play.
All right, we're talking with John Harper, a longtime New York baseball columnist. He's currently at SNY.TV and writing some great stuff for there. And you can see him regularly when he gets back healthy, back on Baseball Night in New York and even Sports Night. Harp, how about the Yankees? I was impressed with this run. Remember, not too long ago, the Yankees were looking at the idea of potentially going into a house of horrors down at the Trop where they were without Aaron Judge. It was a bad time for them. And the Rays were on top of the baseball world. They could have got swept and been in last place and been double digits back. Yankees, even though they didn't win the series, to me, they showed a lot. And then obviously over that 14-game stretch against the Blue Jays, against the Rays again back in the Bronx, I'm impressed here. I think the Yankees are the best team in the American League. How are you viewing the Yankees these days as they start to get healthier here?
I think you can make that case, although the Astros are starting to play really well too. And the Rays, you know, the Rays are legit. No doubt, but they have some pitching issues. They got some injuries, things like that. So you got to see them do it, especially over the, you know, when you get to the playoffs with them. We'll see if Glasnow comes back. They could really use a guy like that. But they can mash, man. They hit. And you're right, though. It was impressive the way the Yankees battled back in some of those games. Sometimes they were down. They found ways to score runs. And I think they are a good team, especially when you consider that Severino's just getting back now and Rodon has been out the whole year. I thought he was going to be such a key for this team. And missing him, I didn't think the rotation would be deep enough. And starting pitching hasn't been great. The bullpen has been great. I was just looking at it earlier today. They are actually leading the American League in ERA, the bullpen, the relievers. So they always seem to find arms. But look, as long as Judge is doing his thing, And you know what? Rizzo, actually, to me, Rizzo's the guy now. I thought with the shift ban, you would see a different guy. He's hitting 300 now because a lot of those balls, line drives to right field are for singles again instead of balls being caught by the second baseman in shallow right field. And he's hitting home runs. He's been a key. And, you know, if you ever get Stanton back, it's almost a luxury. But as long as Judge is hitting, this team is as dangerous as anybody. It's just that when they get to the postseason, Judge has got to hit. I think that's really the bottom line. If Judge ever hits, it kind of be like when A-Rod finally hit that 1 year in 2009, the Yankees marched right through and won everything. I think that could happen with the Yankees if Judge hits for them.
Yeah, and I don't think he's not clutch. He just, for whatever reason, hasn't gotten it done in the postseason. And one of the things, Harp, I like about this team, not only the possibility of Rodon coming back, which could be a difference maker for him, not only do I trust Brian Cashman to go out there and add another bullpen arm if needed, or starter, or another bat if needed. I like a little bit of their balance now with even, let's say, a guy like Volpe to go along with Bader, where these guys, and I know Volpe hasn't gotten there yet, but you could see the kid's a ball player, and that type of style wins in October.
Yeah, I like him a lot. I think he's here to stay. He's got a quick bat. You saw that one yank down the line the other night. I know the average is still down, but I think he'll just keep getting better. You love the way he plays. He's got good instincts in the field and on the bases. I don't think he's been thrown out yet as a base dealer, right?
Right.
And so, yeah, that's what they need, because that's what has always been an issue for them, is being able to manufacture runs in October. LeMahieu's not quite the same guy as he used to be, but he still could be a valuable bat in October. And you're right, Bader's a good player. That looks like a great trade that Cashman made Montgomery for Bader last year when everybody hated it at the time. So they are more balanced. They're still going to need to hit home runs to win, but they do look a little more balanced offensively.
Yeah, and I just think Bader brings – remember they brought in Josh Donaldson to bring kind of an edge to this team. Well, instead of Donaldson, because he's been so awful and now he's been hurt – Bader brought it hard, but you saw it when he came back. You know, Judge was out of that Tampa Bay series. Bader came back, and I'm thinking, oh, like, he's going to be a big difference. He was a huge difference for him. He's been a huge difference for him. Picked up right where he left off last October.
Yeah, he has. He looks like he looks like he likes the spotlight, you know. And that's another thing, though. I think, you know, we saw it this series in Toronto last week. Judge is a guy who, he's not afraid to show his emotions now, you know. You know, he was kind of in the Jeter mode where he wasn't going to show anything or, you know, give you anything, tell you what he's thinking. I think he's starting to feel comfortable enough to let him be himself and kind of express his emotions and be the guy that can, you know, he can lead this guy. You know, he wasn't afraid to bark back at the Toronto broadcasters and even have a little fun with that whole thing last week. And he stepped up and hit some home runs after all that stuff. So I think he's the leader, but I do like what Bader brings for them, for sure.
Yeah, and I do think those things that you mentioned about Judge, you could feel it now as the captain. He feels like he can maybe completely be himself, and I think that's going to be a big difference when they do get to October this year. Harp, we appreciate the time. Any announcement? You going to retire from racquetball officially here on the
air? No. No, I've been playing it for 40 years. It was a freak injury. I'll be back.
You're getting back out there? Are you insane? Your wife's going to kill you.
No. And she's been great, by the way, taking care of me.
God bless her.
I do have to say, Sal, I'm amazed. You've been the voice of reason over there at SNY as far as the Mets goes. I figured you'd be in full panic mode before they revived the season, and you were you said, keep the faith, keep the faith. I'm like, what's gotten in the South?
Well, thank you, Harp, for noticing. You know what it is, truth be told? I mean, obviously in years past, and you worked with me long enough to know this, the teams weren't very good when I used to rip them. Now they're actually good. Like, there's no way Lindor and Marte, I don't know. I mean, I'm a little bit worried about him, although I'm more encouraged after this weekend. Lindor, Alonso, Verlander, like these, even if they're bad, they're going to win 80-something games getting the postseason. And I've learned.
It might take more than that, but yeah, I agree.
Well, no, obviously a little bit of a combination of everything else. But Harp, think about where we're at in baseball nowadays, where I've learned that you could be a bad team and still make the postseason. Phillies were awful last year. They get into the postseason, they go to the World Series.
Yeah, I know. That is, you know, it's fun when you get there with those mini series. There's two out of three now, but it has kind of taken some of the significance out of the regular season, which I don't like. You know, you play 162 games. You should be rewarded for that. And now it's really almost like an NCAA tournament style, you know, or an NHL style playoffs now.
Yeah, which I don't like. I'd rather, because the baseball is such a long season, as you mentioned, you'd rather it be, and not that you want to just have the best teams win, but still, you don't want it to be as much of a crapshoot as it seems to be. And you know, Harp, people were, while I may have been the voice of reason, there were people talking about comparing this team to the worst team money can buy, which you know about.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. Well, you know what? Look, when the team doesn't hit, we know. They always look lifeless, but something was wrong. It did look like something was wrong with this team. I still think most of it was about the starting pitching. And it wasn't that long ago, though. I wasn't sure about Senga. Mm. He was really struggling to throw strikes. McGill has kind of been up and down. I don't know what if Carrasco has any left. I'm not sure what they're going to get out of him. And then, you know, Verlander missed a month. And sure, you know, I agree. Yeah, you always have to take the long view of baseball. But they sure didn't look like anything I expected them to look like.
And
now, good news for Mets fans, now they do.
Yep, it's amazing how just five games can change an entire field. But it's not just the five games; it's the five games this year reminding you what they were last year. I think that's what's encouraging about it. And then, as you said, it starts with Verlander and Scherzer. Harp, thanks for the time. Can't wait to see you back in the studio. Looking forward to working with you, even via Zoom.
All right, great talking to you, Sal. Thanks.
You too, John Harper, SNY.TV. Check out his columns. Nobody does it better than Harp, longtime New York baseball columnist.